Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Good evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Praying for America, a joint production of Right Side Broadcasting Network and Priests for Life. Well, we are really delighted tonight. I want to give you a deeper understanding of what's going on with this Texas law that the Supreme Court allowed to go into effect. It's really a day of victory for pro-life, and that is a big part of praying for America and of the very survival of America, that we protect our youngest children. And I want to make sure that you understand exactly what it is that's going on and what this means. It's a great cause for hope, for Thanksgiving. It really is a great victory. And so we want to pray about that tonight and help you understand it better too. So let's begin with a prayer of thanks for God's victory. We'll take it from the book of Psalms, Psalm number 75. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, and we invoke your name. We declare your wondrous deeds. When I seize the appointed time, I will judge with equity. Though the earth and all who dwell in it quake, I have set firm its pillars. I say to the boastful, boast not, and to the wicked, lift not up your horns. Lift not up your horns against the Most High. Speak not haughtily against the Rock. For neither from the east nor from the west, neither from the desert nor from the mountains, but God is the judge. One he brings low, another he lifts up. For a cup is in the Lord's hand, full of spiced and foaming wine, and he pours out from it, even to the dregs they shall drain it. All the wicked of the earth shall drink. But as for me, I will exult forever. I will sing praise to the name of Jacob's God. And I will break off the horns of all the wicked. The horns of the just shall be lifted up. Psalm 75. It applies to what is going on right now in America. And I'll tell you what, friends, this is a result of your prayers. We come here each night praying for America. Well, God is answering our prayers. And he has answered them in a big way with what happened in Texas. Now, let me put this in context. So in May, not just a few months ago, Texas passed a law protecting babies in the womb from abortion starting at 6 weeks. Now, the reason for 6 weeks is that the way the law is actually crafted, and this is a kind of a bill that has been introduced in other states too and even passed, but in no place has it actually gone into effect because it's been challenged and held up in the courts. But the bills are called heartbeat bills because what they say is that when a heartbeat can be detected, from that point forward, the baby is to be protected. Now, when is that? It depends what method of detection you use. And when this is designated in the law, then that results in the particular time frame after which abortions can no longer be permitted. Now, keep in mind, the policy in our country is that abortions on the federal level can be permitted. The state is allowed to permit them throughout pregnancy. And there are various states like New York that don't have any limit whatsoever. You could do the abortion right up until the actual birth of the child. Other states have limits around the point of viability, although it's an older marker of viability. Some states have limits at 24 weeks. Viability these days is more like 22 weeks, even 21. But some states cut it off at 24. Some states even cut it off as early as 20 weeks. But Texas went ahead and passed a law that said, no, we're going to protect babies starting at 6 weeks. And because you can detect the heartbeat. Now, that doesn't mean that the heart starts beating at 6 weeks. Oh, by no means. The heart starts beating at 21 days after fertilization. The heart will continue to grow and to develop and change in form and shape. and certainly size, but the heart is beating at 21 days after conception. By the time a baby is 6 weeks old, developmentally, the heart has beat almost 4 million times. So what's happening here is that Texas is taking a bold step and saying, no, we're going to protect these babies from that point. And, you know, the idea that the baby has a heartbeat also is something that really pricks the consciences of people. We've always found in the pro-life movement that to point out that abortion stops a beating heart, and that's been one of the most popular sayings in the pro-life movement and one of the most effective, because it really makes people stop and think. Think about it this way. When you're trying to see if a person is alive, you check for a heartbeat, right? If a heartbeat is a sign of the presence of life, well, then why should that be any different for a baby in the womb? Of course, a heartbeat is a sign of the presence of life. So the idea that abortion stops a beating heart has always resonated very strongly with people. And therefore, a law that says we're not going to permit a procedure that stops a beating heart also resonates with people. In fact, a recent opinion poll showed that more than half of the respondents said that if you say you're going to protect babies from the point that the heartbeat can be detected, that is not an overly restrictive law. The other side always wants to talk in terms of restrictive laws. This is restricting what? Well, it's restricting abortion. It's restricting, as the other side would say, women's rights and women's reproductive health. Well, we're not interested in taking women's rights away, and we're not interested in taking away women's health. What we are interested in doing is protecting babies and protecting women's health. And that's why we say no to abortion, because abortion destroys both the life of the baby and the health of the woman. But don't think of this, and don't let people refer to it simply as a restrictive law. It's a protective law. It is protecting more and more life. Now, why was the action of Texas to protect babies starting at 6 weeks so bold? Why was that so bold? Because the courts, for the last 50 years, have been saying that although Roe versus Wade permits the state to prohibit abortion in the final 3 months of pregnancy, to do so sooner than that is an unconstitutional violation of a woman's right to get an abortion. And so routinely, and we've come to expect it, and the legislators have come to expect it, routinely, when a law is passed that protects babies earlier than, let's say, 24 weeks, the courts strike it down as unconstitutional, say it cannot be enforced. That's starting to change. In other words, the idea that the point of viability should be the point at which, before which, we can't even protect these babies has come under more and more scrutiny, has become more and more challenged. And this relates to another thing that the Supreme Court is doing right now that we've talked about on this program and that we've prayed about, namely, because Mississippi passed a law that says the babies in the womb should be protected starting at 15 weeks, and because that is significantly prior to the point of viability. And because of that, the court did strike down the enforcement of that law. The Supreme Court, nevertheless, has accepted the case. And they say, well, we're going to look at this again. We're going to examine the question of whether a law that protects babies before viability is automatically unconstitutional. The fact that they're taking up that question, and with the makeup of the court now, thanks to President Trump's addition of three solid pro-life justices to the court? It seems to me that the court is going to answer that question no. In other words, it's not automatically unconstitutional to protect babies early in pregnancy. It sounds ridiculous to even say that. The Constitution says nothing about abortion, and it's certainly not rooted in the history and traditions of our country that it should be considered unconstitutional to protect our youngest and most dependent children. People say, oh, well, you know, the baby has to be able to live outside the womb in order to protect the baby. Wait a minute. It seems to me you got that backwards. The earlier the child is in his or her development, the more dependent that child is. And the more dependent that child is, it seems to me that's an argument to give more protection. The baby needs more help. So you give the baby more help. You don't use the baby's helplessness as an excuse to kill the baby. Again, friends, it just makes absolutely no sense. So Texas has challenged this idea, as has Mississippi, as have a number of other states, that you can't protect the babies early on. And as I say, the court has agreed to examine the question. They have taken the briefs, the friend of the court briefs. We submitted one, as we told you on previous programs, and now the preparations are being made for the oral arguments that may take place before the end of the year, and then the decision in the case will probably come out in June of 2022. But what happens in the meantime with this Texas law? Well, what the Supreme Court says next year on this question certainly will impact the Texas law. Because if they were to say, you know, any protection of these babies before viability is automatically unconstitutional, well, then that would therefore say that the Texas law is unconstitutional. However, court hasn't said that. And what is going on now is the following. The bill was signed into law. It was set to go into effect on September 1st. The pro-abortion side, of course, challenged it in court. They were not successful at getting it enjoined. In other words, they were not successful at getting the court to say, okay, this law cannot go into effect, because that's a lot of times what happens. So they made an emergency appeal to the Supreme Court. You can do this. We at Priests for Life have had to do this in regard to a totally different issue some years ago, where we were being threatened by a mandate of the Obama administration. You can go, you can run up to the Supreme Court and say, hey, we need some intervention here. We need some help. And in a case like that, one of the justices is assigned to the question, and he or she could either answer the question or refer it to the whole court. So in this case, it was Justice Alito, and he referred it to the whole court. The law went into effect on Wednesday at the beginning of the day, yesterday, in other words, because there was no answer from the Supreme Court. So the law went into effect. And then during the course of the evening last night, the answer came down from the court, because obviously, you know, if all the justices were consulted, they needed time to put their thoughts together. And they ended up with a document that I have in my hand here, essentially saying to the abortionists and those that were challenging this law, no, you are not going to stop this law right now. We're going to let it go into effect. Now, that doesn't mean the law isn't still under scrutiny by the courts. It is. And the Supreme Court is not saying that we are making a decision based on the merits of the question of whether this law is constitutional or not. They're not answering that question in this particular order. All they're saying here is, let the law go into effect, because the other side has not made a sufficiently strong argument that it should not take effect. That's what's going on. What that means is, in the state of Texas, the abortionists cannot kill babies after six weeks into the pregnancy, and that's going to save a lot of lives. You know, last year, the statistics are that the numbers of abortions in Texas were 54,000 babies in 1 year in Texas. 54,000 babies were killed. 85% of those babies were killed after the 6 week point in pregnancy. So, in other words, now that is to say that with this law, 85% of the abortions that normally take place in Texas, and there are like 20 different killing centers in Texas, and most of them you find in the big cities. You'll find them in Dallas and Houston and San Antonio, Fort Worth, et cetera. 20 abortion mills, 85% of the abortions that occur are not going to be allowed, are not allowed. As of right now, those babies are protected. And this is tremendously good news. The Texas legislature, by the way, I should point out something else that you should be aware of. They're not just saying no to abortion. They're saying yes to helping those moms. That's what we all say in the pro-life movement. Yes to helping the moms and the dads and the families. They, in the same legislative session this year, the Texas legislators said, we want to allocate more money to helping people find alternatives to abortion, to the tune really of $100 million over the next 2 years. They are taking steps, as various states have been taking, to put money into the alternatives to abortion. You know, the good news is that there are five times as many pregnancy centers across the country as there are abortion facilities. So there are alternatives. People don't have to feel like abortion is their only option when they don't know what to do. They have an unexpected pregnancy. They feel they can't raise the child. There are medical services, legal services, adoption services, assistance to places to stay, assistance to go through the pregnancy, job and education opportunities, assistance to make a plan to be a parent and to raise that child or to make an adoption plan, as we mentioned. All kinds of different scenarios can unfold. And the good news is that the people are there ready to help. Whatever your situation might be, the people are there ready to help. So this is what's going on in Texas. There's one more interesting twist to this law that I want to point out. And this is one of the key reasons why the court didn't jump in and put a stop to it before it went into effect. It's not the state that is charged with enforcing the law. It's private citizens. And this is a novel approach. It's been used in local ordinances. And again, Texas has been the epicenter of this. You may have heard of the sanctuary cities for the unborn. This is where a city, by a vote of the city council usually, will say, sure, we know that, you know, around the country, abortion is considered constitutional, but we're not going to have it in our town. We don't want to do it in our city. It's like a city can pass all kinds of different ordinances about things they don't want that in and of themselves are perfectly constitutional and legal, but we don't want them in our town. And this is a beautiful reminder that we really do govern ourselves at every level of government. And if that's not happening, that's a betrayal of the way our country was set up. So local government can take the abortion matter into its own hands and say, we're not going to have abortion in our city. And look up online Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn and you'll see more information about this. When those ordinances are passed, it is not that the city enforces the ordinance, it's that private individuals can launch civil lawsuits against those who break the ordinance. So you can have a multiplicity of lawsuits coming from a multiplicity of citizens. That's what the Texas legislature did in regard to this heartbeat bill. They said, we are going to leave enforcement to this to the private citizens who can bring a claim against anyone who performs or assists in an abortion. That's big, and that's new. And that's something that, you know, the court said, well, you know, let me read from this order here. Federal courts enjoy the power to enjoin individuals tasked with enforcing laws, not the laws themselves. Now, since the individuals are not of the state, it's not easy for the court to identify whom they have to enjoin. And they don't know what private citizens are going to bring forth a lawsuit. They don't know what private citizens are going to act to enforce this law. So if there's nobody on the state, in the official state government, that they can say, don't enforce this law, and if any citizen of Texas can do it, but they don't know yet who's going to do it, they're left in a bind. And this is one of the things that is happening with this particular law. So bottom line, you can't do an abortion in Texas beyond 6 weeks of the pregnancy, right as it stands right now. And the Supreme Court has let it go into effect, and they're not going to stop it. And right now, even while it is in effect, it is still being litigated in the courts, and the Supreme Court will address the bigger question of pre-viability abortions as this other case unfolds, but a decision won't be coming out on that until the spring. So we have a lot of reason to give thanks. We have a lot of reason to step up our educational activity. We have a lot of reasons to step up our activity in providing alternatives to abortion, as the state of Texas is doing. Now, I'm going to go into some more educational dimensions of this in just a moment, but let me just read a couple of the comments that have come in from you, and feel free, please, to make comments as you watch these programs, because we love to hear what's on your mind. If you have questions, comments, prayer intentions, and whatnot. One of our viewers said, I am not a Catholic, but I'm a big fan of Father Frank. I get most of his messages. Pray for us. Steve asked for prayers for his daughter, Candace. And yes, we are praying. And I invite you all to pray for this 11-year-old girl's good health after an emergency medical condition, which we pray she recovers from completely. Another comment, thank you, Father, for being faithful and your obedience to God the Father by keeping our country's concerns. We continue to pray for President Trump. Yes, we stand with him. We stand with one another. We stand for America. I appreciate all these comments, brothers and sisters, and we pray for you each day. Now, I want to show you some pictures. I want to show you some pictures of the kind of babies now that are protected in Texas today, but were not protected the day before yesterday. And this is when most of the abortions are occurring. These are new pictures. Pictures put together with a technology that NASA uses when it takes pictures of the Earth. What they do is they combine layer upon layer of information so that the picture is very rich in data. They don't make it up. It's not an invented image. It's an actual picture, but it's concentrated layers of data. And I'm putting up a webpage there, myheartbeatsjustlikeyours.com. That's where you can get these pictures. And this is what I would like you to take as a suggested action item. We give you something on each of these programs concrete to do. My heart beats just like yours. Go to that page and see that project, which we at Priests for Life are doing. Let's look close up at each of these images. This is a baby. Let's start with the 7-week baby. The baby at 7 weeks is still called an embryo. And this is after 7 weeks growing in the womb. Let me read something about this baby. At this point, I am still, in scientific terms, an embryo. From 7 to 7.5 weeks, my tendons attach leg muscles to bones and knee joints appear. By 7.5 weeks, my hands can be brought together, as can my feet. I can kick. I will jump if startled. My nephrons, the basic filtration units in my kidneys, have now begun to form. 7 to 7.5 weeks. Now let's look at the 8-week baby. My heart has already beaten over 7 million times. I am now the size of a cherry tomato, and more than 4,000 body parts routinely found in newborn babies and adults, I already possess. Nearly all the components of all my bodily systems have been formed. I'm beginning to perform occasional breathing motions, and my eyelids have begun to fuse together and completely cover my eyes. 9 weeks after fertilization, I am now the size of a small tomato. My face, palms of my hands, soles of my feet now sense and respond to light touch. My mouth opens and closes. My tongue moves. I'm now swallowing amniotic fluid. I can sigh, stretch, and move my head. As a baby girl, I have early reproductive cells in my ovaries. I've begun sucking my thumb, grasping objects, yawning, and if touched near my mouth, my face now turns toward the side that was touched. Now, aren't these images amazing? Look at this 10-week baby now. I'm now the size of a purple-top turnip. My body has increased more than 75%, just my bodily weight, just this week. My bones are hardening throughout my body. Fingernails and toenails have begun to grow. The right and left sides of my brain are now connecting. I've begun forming unique fingerprints, and lightly touching one of my upper eyelids causes both eyes to roll downward. Now look at that baby and consider. The day before yesterday, throughout Texas, the 20 abortion mills throughout that state, these babies were being sucked out through suction tubes and thrown in the garbage. And now that baby, and let's go back and look again at the 9-week, and there's 9 weeks after fertilization, and then the 8-week, and then the 7-week. Are these or are these not human babies? And should they or should they not enjoy the protection of the law? Friends, the answer is obvious to anyone who has a conscience. And we rejoice today that Texas, and along with Texas, therefore America, has taken a very big step toward again protecting those youngest brothers and sisters of ours. So if you want to spread the word about this, educate people about that baby. You know, because again, people are going to respond to this law in one of two ways. They're either going to rejoice like we're rejoicing and saying, oh yeah, the baby should be protected. Or they're going to say, oh, why are they against women? They're taking away women's rights, taking away women's health. Well, before you start talking about taking away something, have people look at the baby. Have people see who it is that we're trying to protect. Go to myheartbeatsjustlikeyours.com as the action item and spread the information and spread those pictures. Anyone or everyone who thinks they have an opinion about this Texas law or about anything that's going on with abortion, make sure they see those pictures. And you can order this brochure too, which has the details I was just reading about the development of the baby in the womb. Shall we pray? Father, tonight we have reason to give thanks, and we have reason to rejoice, and we have reason to hope that the long nightmare of abortion in this country, far too long, is beginning to come to an end, that the protection too long denied to our youngest brothers and sisters is beginning to be restored. Lord, there is yet much to do. There are yet many battles to undertake, including in the courts and including in the arena of public opinion. But Lord, we are making progress. And we know that it is because of your Spirit, the Spirit of truth. It is because of the commitment of your people, disciples of Christ, patriots of America. It is because of the commitment, ongoing commitment of your people, that we have made the progress we've made and that we will continue to make more. Father, send the Spirit upon this nation. Keep America going in the right direction when it comes to pro-life. Keep your grace up in your hand upon our legislators and bless the legislators of the 49 other states. May this step now that Texas has taken and the fact that this law has actually gone into effect, the only one of its kind that has gone into effect after these 50 years, almost 50 years of Roe v. Wade, let it embolden the legislators and governors of other states to take similar action, O God. And Lord, we pray for the judges that are on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which handles laws coming out of Texas, cases coming out of Texas. And we ask your blessing upon those judges that they may do the right thing. And the justices of the Supreme Court of the United States, that they too may have the benefit of your wisdom, your guidance, and your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for Justice Barrett, Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Gorsuch, Justice Alito, and Justice Thomas, who made the right decision in regard to this Texas law. Keep them firm and strong and protected. And Lord, bless the other four justices that they may be enlightened and grow in your grace and do the right thing in the future. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus the Lord. And may we now pray together the prayer that he gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Well, thanks to all our friends at Right Side Broadcasting. Thanks to all of you. Spread the word about this program and connect with Right Side Broadcasting on social media at RSB Network. Connect with me on social media at FR Frank Pavone, as you can see on the screen. And be assured of our continued prayers for you, all your intentions, and all your families. May the Lord bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Talk to you tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.